showing me, because I already had a message for 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I got that all planned out. Chapter 9's all planned out. Chapter 10's all planned out. So I'm ahead of schedule. But I always want to make sure that I leave room for what God wants to say. As Paul would say, this is a command from God, and this is my opinion. Or this is my suggestion. And I always want to make room for what God wants to say to you individually. And also to me. And so many times we get wrapped up, we're like, oh, God wants me to say. And that's the reason why I don't have a year-long preaching outline. There are those who already know what they're going to be preaching next year in 2027. And I commend them that they can stay on task. And they can preach those things. I commend them. And actually, I'm in awe and wow that they can do that. One thing, my brain doesn't work that way. Second thing, I want to make sure I'm living in the moment with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying they're not, because the Holy Spirit does immediate things and also long-range things. I'm already planning for 2027, what God has, and praying through some stuff coming up this later this fall, into the winter, and so it's not like I'm not planning, I'm just hanging on by the bootstraps. But as I was in prayer, the word that came to me was one found in the New King James. It's found in Psalms. I want to say, let me make sure I get the right psalm here. Okay, here we go. Psalms. Chapter 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord. This is what he desires of the Lord. This is David writing this song. It goes, this is one thing I have desired of you, Lord, that I will seek. That he'll seek God. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Remember, back in the Old Testament, the presence of God was represented by two things. The Ark of the Covenant and the temple. Or the tabernacle. It was the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle or the temple. And so David is saying, if I could just go up to the house of the Lord and dwell in his presence. Verse 5 goes, for in time of trouble. This is the cool thing about it. He shall hide me in his pavilion. This is the word. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. The secret place of God. We can dwell not just here on earth, which is good that you guys are still dwelling here on earth. It's a good thing. But a greater thing is why you're dwelling here on earth, is dwelling in the secret place of God. How do I get to that secret place? What does that secret place look like? So many times we think that we have to earn our way into the presence of God. If I pray more, if I give more, if I show up to church more, if I behave better. They're all about behavior. Outward manifestation of behavior. And I know I get that to a point of what's going on inside comes on the outside. I get that and I understand that. But so many times we check out these parts. Well, I prayed today, Lord. Cha-ching. I read your word this morning, Lord. Cha-ching. I didn't cuss this today, Lord. Yahoo. I didn't gossip about anybody today, Lord. Cha-ching. I was actually nice to a couple people today. Yay! Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And you know, Lord, I was a good Boy Scout. I helped that old lady across the street. See, it's all based on behavior. But God doesn't base a relationship on behavior outwardness. See, it says fear is the beginning. Wisdom is the fear. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Think about it. It's the beginning. No true relationship is based upon fear. If you're still fearing God after 20 years, you still have a works mentality with God. Oh no, if I mess up, he's going to strike me with a bow and arrow or a lightning bolt or something like that. You're fearful of God. Our fear needs to go from fear to a relationship of awe-ness. Of saying, God really actually wants me to be in his tabernacle. He wants me to be in his secret. He has a secret place. I love watching old houses, people remodeling old houses, and all of a sudden they come to a panel and they knock on it and it's like, it's hollow behind here. Well, we better take this off. And what is there? A secret room. What could this be for? That's like God. He has a place in his house for you to dwell, and guess what? You don't have to earn yourself to get there. David is singing, goes, I just want to be in the tabernacle. I just want, in other words, he wants to be in the presence of God. And nowadays we can say, I just want to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Wherever he is, I want to be in. That's my heart's desire. Wherever the Holy Spirit's moving, I want to be there. If he's not moving, get me out of there. It's like going to a pizza buffet, they don't have their ice cream machine working. It's wrong and it's ungodly. And so the thing about it, David is writing, he goes, this is what I desire. The one thing I desire of the Lord is that I will seek him. And that's all we get to do is seek him. I've had more answers to prayer in the last 4 weeks than I think I've had in a long time. Like, I'm not saying, well, I prayed and something happened like 3 or 6 months later. I'm talking about literally I was praying about something and in the midst of praying it, he answered. Or gave me a peace about that. Why? Because I want to dwell in his presence. When you dwell in the presence of God, you should get an answer quickly. And sometimes the answer is not what you want it to be. Trust me. Psalm 31. Verse 19. Goes here. Goes, oh, how great is your goodness. This is another song from David. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid upon us, upon me. A lot, which you have laid up for those who fear you. Remember, it starts with fear. But then it goes, which you have prepared for those who trust you. It goes from fear and trust. There's a difference between fearing somebody, it'd be like you're fearing your boss, that if you don't show up on time and you're 1 minute late, he's going to scold you out. I've worked under bosses like that. It's not good. To work under a boss that you can trust, and you can trust too, even if you show up 1 minute late. Verse 31, verse 19 goes, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid upon those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust you. So, guess what? You can walk in God's goodness. Think about it. If you trust God, you walk in His goodness. What does His word say? I believe in the book of Romans, that all things work out together for the good for those who trust God. Those who fear God. Those who walk with God. It doesn't say those who don't, but those who walk with God, the works that He's doing is going to be for your good. For His kingdom. And then, make sure I refined it. Verse 19, it goes, which you prepared for those who trust you. In the presence of the sons of men, verse 20, you shall hide them where? Verse 20.
Secret place.
In the secret place of your presence. Who hides us? God. When you trust God, when you go from fearing God to trusting God, having that relationship with God, guess what? He gets to do for you. He gets to pick you up and place you in the secret place. Guess what? Nobody else knows where it's at. You ever play hide and seek? And you couldn't find that one person forever? I mean, you thought they were lost or they left the game and went home? The secret place, they're like, I'm not going to tell anybody about this place. It's the secret place. That's like with God. When you seek His face, He will pick you up and say, I'm going to place you here. Nobody knows where you're at. You don't even know you're at. If someone kidnaps you and places you in a secret room with Him, it'd be like you're having a meal with somebody who admired you, or you admire. They could be dead or alive, it doesn't really matter. But like, you know, who would you want to have a meal with? If you could have a meal with anybody, that's like having a meal with, that's like prayer with God. That's like seeking His face. He literally says, oh, you're seeking my face. Come on, let's go. He literally picks you up and places you in a place that nobody else knows. And so I have my secret place. You have a secret place. And you can just be there. Turn off that pesky noise called the phone, called the whatever it is. Take pieces of paper and pencil. Because when you get into a secret place, a couple things will happen in the secret place. God will speak to you. He will speak to you. And when He speaks to you, write down what He's speaking to you. And so when you come out of that secret place, because you can't stay there forever, and when you come out of that secret place, He gives you what to do next. And also, sometimes you get that tapping on the shoulder or your mind and say,
Oh, you got to pay the water bill today. Oh, yeah, thanks. So you write down, I need to pay a water bill. Or, oh, you should text this person. Okay, yeah, I should text this person. Let me text, not right now, because I'll get distracted. See, when you're in the secret place, God gives you, it's like the huddle of a football game, and God is sending you into play, and he goes, this is what I want to do, because the defense has no clue what the offense is doing. And they show up, and they're like, all right, let's play. But everybody on the offensive line, everybody on the offensive side of the football, says, all right, we know the plans that we have. It's good for our team to run this play. And when we run this play, we're going to do great things for God. Think about it. Can you imagine being in a secret place and God goes, call this person or text this person? And so you do. You call them, you text them, you email them, or whatever God tells you to do. And they respond, thanks, I needed that word. How awesome would that be? Well, I was having a bad day, but man, I needed that encouragement.
He goes, you shall hide them. God will hide you in the secret places of your presence. From what? The plots of man. He'll protect you from other people. You shall keep them securely, or secretly, you will keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. In other words, what other people say about you won't hurt you. Remember that old saying? Sticks and stones will may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie from the pit of hell, by the way. Names hurt more than anything else. But guess what? When you're in the dwelling place of God, people will talk about you. And what they're saying will not hurt you. Because what they'll say will not be based on truth. When you dwell in the presence of God, you'll hear what God says about you. You want to know who you are? Get into the presence of God. And he'll lift you up, put you in the secret place. And in the book of Revelation chapter 2, I believe, it says he'll give you a new name. A secret name. Could you imagine? God gives you a nickname. Some of you have nicknames. Some of you give me your nickname and I get to the hospital and I don't even know your name. Or you don't give me your full legal name. My name is Jim. Okay, my name is James. I'm like, what? Is there a Jim here? No. Is there a James? Yeah. But that's like with God. He'll give you a name that only you and him know, and he'll call you by that name. See, he'll call you by how he sees you and your future and your hope. But the thing about it, the devil will give you a nickname and he'll call you by your past. And guess what? Your past is done away with. You're no longer what the devil has called you. You are what God's secret name for you is. And sometimes he might give you more than one. He gives you a secret name that you will understand. I like looking at names in the Bible, what they mean. And so I looked up what Goliath means one day. Did you know what the word Goliath means? It means big. That's what they call it. Hey, big dude. And my name, this is cool. My name is Redheaded King. I got very little red. And guess what? In the kingdom of God, it looks as me as royalty. See, I used to frown down about, my parents misnamed me. But all actuality, God goes, no, he named you correctly. Because the way I see you, how does God see you? Guess what? He sees you when you come to him as a child. And he goes, I want to place you. I'm going to keep you safe and secure. We get to seek his secret place. Psalm 91. It says, he who dwells in the of the Most High shall abide under his shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. When you dwell in the safety of God, you can say this. Because it's not about what the world says. I don't care what they name lakes and oceans and all those things. What I care about is what God is telling me to do. He says, if I dwell in the secret place, and how do I get in to dwell in the secret place? I seek the face of God, and he lifts me up. There's nothing I get to do besides seek his presence. And you can do that driving down the road. You can do that early morning. You can do that at midnight hour. Because in the jail cell, you had the two apostles who were buckled to chains. And they had other jailmen who were hooked up to them. What they did not complain in the jail cell. What they did, they go, we're going to invite the presence of God into the jail cell. And we're going to worship God. And the presence of God fell. And then God took them out of that situation, out of that. And he goes, you truly worship me, I will take you to the secret place. Even in the midst of jails, even in the midst of trials and tribulation, you seek the face of the Lord. And God goes, I will be in the presence. In the presence of God, there's the fullness.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we can quote this. It says, I say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. If you trust God, you'll dwell in the presence of God. You will dwell in his presence. I purposely want to keep this short because I want us to choose